witches, wizards, and you. Witches, wizards, and you. Have you ever thought about that? We have a lot of things going on these days. Harry Potter and Bewitched and shows of that type. Bewitched makes witches into lovely beings, harmonious beings, beings who have the capacity to do interesting things, and they have limitations too. And in the wizard school of Harry Potter, he learns all of the techniques of being a wizard. He learns the techniques of doing magic, of using his magic wand. He learns all of the tricks. In fact, he learns more tricks about being a wizard than Bewitched learns about being a witch. Now, what's this all about? Is this a fantasy that we have of witches and wizards? Is it a fantasy we have of people who can do these interesting things and that they can accomplish these wonderful marvels and be invisible and travel where they wish and do virtually anything they want to do? Kind of fascinating, isn't it? Well, as I look at the show Bewitched and as I see the wizardry of Samantha as she's doing different things, I think to myself, there's a little inconsistency going on in there. And the inconsistency is that there are rules and then there are rules. And the basic rule in the program seemed to have been that if a witch does something, or a warlock, that it cannot be reversed by another witch or another warlock. It has to be reversed by the witch or warlock who did it. And witches and warlocks can do things to each other with their permission, and sometimes they're not very nice. Now, the permission seems to be worked out in a pretty harmonious way, so that the audience, or so that you and I, as we listen to the show or hear the read about it, we are not too much distressed by it. But it still brings up the point that if we allow someone to do something to us, we should certainly allow ourselves the ability to undo it. If we allow somebody to do things to us and for us and about us, we should certainly have the ability to allow ourselves not to be touched by it, or to reverse it at some time. Now, in these Bewitched and in the wizard shows, we find there are all sorts of interesting limitations. But as I look at these things objectively, with not too deep an interest, but just a general passing interest, I think to myself, every one of the inconsistencies that I see there are the inconsistencies that bring it into harmony with what humanity expects, with what humanity believes is right, with what humanity believes is the truth. Now, I would like to suggest that the truth, should it be known, is even far more spectacular than anything any of these stories have revealed to us. And they have been some pretty marvelous, not and outstanding, and silly, and not so good things that are revealed by these two shows that we have watched recently. In the allness, if we were to write a story about, let's say, angels, or if we were to write a story about the divine beings, a divine master, what would we write about? Would we write a story about the human problems that a divine master has? Well, we would find that the Divine Master has no human problems. When we write about the conditions of the relative world that are inflicted upon a Divine Master, or would we write about the Divine Master as one that is absolutely free of any relative conditions, any human conditions, any type of limitation that might keep it from accomplishing whatever it wants to do, positive or negative, whatever it wants to do in its own realm? Well, I believe that the magic of our being absolute, our being divine, our being the allness, our being that which we are, is far superior to anything Bewitched or Harry Potter could come up with. Because in Bewitched and in Harry Potter, they're writing to a human audience. And in writing to a human audience, they have to enclose in their writing human attributes and human conditions. If they were to write on the level of an absolute or master consciousness, they would not be having any of the adventures that they're having. Because the divine consciousness does not have these adventures, does not have these conditions that make it live in a human limitation. It does not have things where people are unkind to one another. It does not have things where people are playing other people to be foolish and the fool, as the mother in Bewitched oftentimes does with the lead male character. It does not do those things. And it does not have people. If Harry Potter is indeed a wizard, all he has to do is to wave his wand over his friends, his relatives, and have them be ideal relatives in loving, gentle, wonderful ways. But that wouldn't make half an interesting story, as the story is the way it's written. Think about what your life is and what my life is. We are so accustomed to having human adventures and having human frailties, foibles that are running our life, and we find that so necessary. We say, well, I'd miss the human aspect. Well, yes, you would. But you see, when we really tune in to the divine that we are, there are no more human aspects. There are no more human conditions. There are no more human limitations for us. When we live, you don't really want to be a Harry Potter or a Samantha. You don't really want to be a bewitched person or a bewizarded person. You want to be a divine person, I would think. And a divine person is one who is not limited by the programs of a witch or one who is a wizard and a magic person in that respect. Because these people are limited. Even Merlin the magician, as wonderful and as magical as he is portrayed to be, he is still limited by working with spells and working with things that he conjures up, working with magical potions and things of that nature. Now, a divine being, an absolute master, divine master consciousness, does not even dwell in those realms, does not even dwell in those attitudes, does not even come to terms with those points of view. A divine being transcends the wizard and the witch by so much, by such a great degree, that there can be no parallel, there can be no comparison whatsoever. It's true listening to the stories of Bewitched and listening to the stories of Harry Potter. It's a charming diversion. But what it is, truly, is a misdiversion. Because it causes us to judge and to look at these shows and to look at these characters and to be charmed by them in our human consciousness, but to be limited by them in our human consciousness. Truly, a divine being, a master consciousness, which sees only another master consciousness. That type of a being has no limitation, has no respect to the consciousness of a wizard or a witch. Think about it. We spoke a moment ago about the sled dogs in Alaska and how they can burn 12,000 calories in a day and how they can run great lengths of time, 12 hours on, 12 hours off, in amazing speed and with amazing endurance. And they rise to it. They delight in it. They excel in it. They get even better and better. And as they are trained in this, marvelous things will be seen. Those limitations that we put on them are our limitations. And now, little by little, we're taking those limitations off. Just like we say, if we feed mice less, almost a starvation diet, that they will live many times their lifetime, and they will be productive to the very end of their many lifetimes. It's amazing. It's amazing, but we're learning new things. We're learning that the humanity, that the eating is not necessary. We're learning that even the energies that these dogs can expound and the joy that they have in running excels them. And we might ask that same question about the humans who are athletes and who excel the goals, the treasure, the measure that they had made before and now are rising to new possibilities. It's amazing. We don't need to think of ourselves as a witch or a wizard. We don't need to think of ourselves as living in those limitations. Bad enough, we think of ourselves living in the limitations of being a human. It's time that we open our inner consciousness and open our inner awareness to step out and be who we really are. Because we have that potential in us which is so magical, so wonderful, so fantastic that we have done nothing about it. And soon we'll be talking more about our stem cells. And we'll be talking more about how every day stem cells are born throughout our body, ready to be differentiated, ready to be told how they're to be used and how they're to be done. And for the moment, our scientists are seeking ways to extract these stem cells and put them where they're wanted. And the day will soon come where we will realize that the stem cells are motivated and instigated by our thought alone. And when we think our thought, these stem cells will be organized and utilized where we want them and where we choose them. And once we start doing that, then we'll begin looking at the whole body of stem cells that we are, and we will think our thought that we live in our ideal spirit, mind, and body, and zap-o! Our ideal spirit, mind, and body is made a reality for us. Are you ready? Do you want to think in that area? Do you want to have just those points for you alone? Then train yourself in meditation to think on these things and reveal these things as a reality in your life now. For it is there, and it's just waiting for us to claim it. Nothing new, but kind of fascinating anyhow. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.